All right. So we have been talking for the past few weeks throughout True North about what it means to be a church that lets the Spirit flow out of us, that we go out in the community and share God's love rather than just waiting for people to come to us. We've recognized that there's something going on in our culture, that more and more people simply don't respond to invitations to come to church. There's a change in mindset about church, and we have understood, and looking back at what Jesus established in Acts, that it is our role as Christians, transformed by the Holy Spirit, to go out and share that love. Today, as we continue to talk about this, we want to move forward to the next step of what it means to be that kind of church. So far, we've focused our intention on some important foundation. The first being who we really are in Christ, that we are Spirit-filled, transformed people because we have been forgiven of our sin. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. And God is more than willing to work through us and provide all that we need to be all that he's asked us to be. We are to go out into the world with the power and presence of God, not in our own power, with our own weaknesses. We're going to take steps of faith to follow his will and to let him work through us. We considered what a great need our world has for Christ. We're asking God to give us eyes to see as he does, to have the compassion and grace and patience that he has for people in the world. And we have said that this is our time to love as Jesus loved, to lay down our lives for others in order to serve a cause greater than our own and make a real and meaningful difference in this world. This is our time to act. And so that, with that foundation, we're now ready to move forward into the next step, to start talking about what it means to go out into a dark world with the light of Christ within us. We need to actually talk about going out there and sharing our faith with people in the world. And there's some questions that bring up that we want to talk through. What does it mean to really share your faith? And who do you share it with? Right? What are the practical things that we need to think about? And so with that in mind, first of all, I want to encourage you to be reading this book that we handed out to everyone, this Outflow book. Let me just catch you up on where we are. This is broken into 5 different weeks of readings, with 5 readings per week. But we have extended it. So for each week in the book, we're taking 2 weeks to cover those 5 readings, if that makes sense, all right? So far, we've been through the first 10 readings. We're starting on week 3 today, would be the beginning of week 3. So I encourage you, especially this week, week 3 is full of all kinds of practical stuff about how to share your faith with another person. Especially they're focusing on those friends and family close to you. And so the sermons that I've been doing are based on those readings this week. Today, as I said, marks the beginning of week 3, which is page 103 in this book. There's too much in here to really cover on a Sunday morning, so I'm just highlighting some things, but make sure you're taking advantage of the information throughout here. There's a lot more in depth that you can get, and really, you can personalize it for yourself. There's things in here that are probably going to hit you that don't hit somebody else that you can use as lessons that God is teaching you about how to really outflow in the Spirit. And today, I want to begin by taking another look at Jesus' parable of the sower of the seed and the soils that we find in 3 of the Gospels. We're going to read in Matthew 13. So if you have a Bible with you, or if you can grab one near you, open up to Matthew 13 if you would, and we're going to read a section out of there to get things started. I'm going to start with verse 1, Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly to become soil that was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear." Now, a little bit further down in this passage, Jesus explains this parable to his disciples, because they're asking, "Why do you speak in parables so much, and what do they mean?" So down in verse 23, Jesus explains this parable. He says, That's too far. I wrote down the end of it. Verse 18, there we go, is where we're going to start. Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That is a seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now, a very common discussion about this parable centers on how we as Christians can be that good soil. Right? We want to be good soil to receive God's word into our life. We don't want to allow the worries and deceitfulness of life get in the way of our relationship with the Lord. We don't want to have shallow roots and quickly lose sight of the Lord when trouble comes our way. And certainly we don't want to succumb to the deception of the evil one. And there's lots of good things that come out of those discussions. Lots of things for us to think and evaluate about our own lives. And really commit ourselves to living more fully for the Lord. Today, though, I want to put us into a different role in that story. Today, you're not the seed, you're the farmer. You're sowing the seed. We sow that seed in hope that it will produce a good crop. Jesus describes sowing of the seed as giving people the message about the kingdom. So the seed that we sow as Christians is seeds of faith in Jesus. Now, that's not just giving people the word. It's not just quoting scripture to people, telling them what the Bible says. It's about sowing everything there is about a life in Christ into somebody else's life. It reminds me of a famous quote that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. It says, "Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." Right? There's so many things that we can do to demonstrate and to show people what it means to be a follower of Christ. What it means to know Jesus in your life. And that's what it means to sow seeds of faith into another person's life. It's showing them how Jesus affects you, how you live differently because of him, and just sharing every part of your life in Christ. So if that's the seed and we're the farmer, in this parable, we are called to go out and scatter that seed. And I think that's a really good visual, isn't it, for sharing Christ. We're scattering seed into other people's lives. And that's what it means to be an outflowing church. We're giving that seed away. We take this life we have with Jesus, overflowing in the Spirit, and go scatter it around in the world wherever we go. I've had lots of conversations lately about how isolating our culture is. You know, you have neighbors on either side of you that you never see because we all spend our time indoors. But we as Christians, if we're going to be sowers of seeds of faith, we need to break through that somehow. To get out and find out where people are so that we can sow that seed into their lives. And this is the kind of thing that Jesus was talking about when he told his disciples that they are the light of the world. He said, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We need to find ways to let that light that's within us hit other people's lives. Now, it doesn't take a whole lot, honestly, to figure out where those people are. There's lots of options, lots of opportunities if we really start taking a look around of ways that we can get around the other people. And I think that's one of the things that makes Cannon Falls such a wonderful mission field, honestly. This community does so many things to give us opportunities to get out among other people. And this is why we promote things like the Family Fun Fest. Just go and enjoy it, but make sure you enjoy it with other people, right? We brought up the Cannon Valley Fair today. They're always looking for volunteers. And when you volunteer for something, you start to make friends with the people who are volunteering along with you. Those are the opportunities that we want to always put out to you. This community does a lot of things. And you know what the big bonus about it is? You get to have fun doing it. Who was it? I was talking to someone this morning about that today. We're like, what? You get to go have fun going out to share Christ with people? Yeah, it can be a fun thing. We have to be intentional about it. We have to think about how we can share this light that we have as we do it. So as I said, if you do the readings this week, you'll read more details about some of the ways that you can sow those seeds in other people's lives. But the question I want to ask today is, where do we sow that seed? Where do we sow those seeds of faith? You know, we want that seed to produce a good crop. We want it to be fruitful. So we might consider how we look for good soil for that seed to grow in. How do you determine the right people to go share your faith with? To know that the difference between those who are going to be like the rocky soil and not receive it, and the difference between those who are the good soil, they're ready to hear those words of faith. How do you tell the difference? Well, the answer is you don't. Right? We don't want to sow seed like I try to portray in this picture, where you're picking carefully where to plant each one, ensuring that it will grow. Because the honest truth is, we can't know who's ready and who's not. There's no way possible that we can know. Every attempt that we make is going to be filled with all kinds of misjudgments and false impressions that we make because we don't understand the human heart as much as we often think we do. We don't understand another person's circumstances and their experiences and their attitudes toward God. We have no idea how many other people have sown something into their life and where they are at this moment. You can't tell by looking at them. You can't even tell sometimes by talking to them for an extended period. We just don't know. Only God truly knows a person's heart. So it's not our place to decide where to sow the seed. It's really not within our ability at all to know what is good soil and what's rocky soil. We don't know where the thorns are, and we don't know which is the hard path. We just don't know. And so our role is simply to scatter seed. Oops, I went backwards. There we go. Just to scatter the seed as widely and freely as possible so that we are scattering seed on every kind of soil imaginable. In 2 Corinthians 9, the Apostle Paul writes about giving generously. He says that God loves a cheerful giver, and he points out this truth, that whoever sows sparingly reaps sparingly. And whoever sows generously reaps generously. That's true in so many ways. And we talk about that in lots of different ways in the church. One of the ways that this truth holds true is in the sowing of seed. If we're going to sow sparingly, we're going to carefully place the seeds in the soil where we think they ought to go, it's going to be fairly rare that we're going to find that one that takes root in the right way. But if we sow generously, just scattering the seed everywhere we go, as often as we can, we're going to hit a lot more opportunities. We're going to be surprised by some of those opportunities that we weren't aware of. We also don't need to worry about the seed running out. There is an endless supply of God's grace, love, and mercy, and he will always graciously fill you back up. That's why we started with that foundation of being filled with the Spirit. God will always continue to fill you as you continue to give away, and then he will provide for you what you need as we just continue to come back to him. He knows when people are ready, and he knows when they're not, and so he will do the work as we scatter that soil into their lives. So we need to just go out and scatter that seed widely and freely and generously and enjoy the surprising places it produces a bountiful harvest. One of the great things about doing this as a church as well is that we're going to have overlap sometimes, right? In the areas that we sow seeds. So if I may share some faith with somebody and then one of you can share faith with that same person, it's going to be surprising to us the difference in impact. It may be that for me it's like putting it on the hard path. I'm just not making impact. For some reason, I'm not able to connect with that person. But for you, you may have a connection with them that I just can't have. So our efforts are multiplied when there's more of us out there sowing seed everywhere we go. Now, as we think about this, though, I do want to consider those times when our best efforts to demonstrate God's love seem to fall on rocky or thorn-infested soil. What do we do? How do we handle those situations? Well, the first thing is to know that it's really important to remember you are not responsible for the results of scattering seeds of faith. We're just called to scatter the seed. As I said earlier, God knows exactly where each person's heart is. He knows exactly how to use the circumstances of their life to work those seeds in their lives. He knows when they're ready and when they're not. And so he does the work of drawing a person close to him, of like watering and making sure that seed grows when it needs to grow and how it's going to grow. That's the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. We need to remember that people do have the ability to change as well. If somebody is like that hard path today, where the seed is just taken away by the enemy, it is possible for them to be good soil in a different day, depending on what happens in their lives. They may reject seeds of faith that you plant and even lash out at you initially, but over time, as God works in their life, their heart can be changed and eventually turn into that good soil. And the seeds that you plant now may still remain. God can preserve them and hold them like in the depths of their heart and their mind, so they lie dormant for that moment when they're ready to take root. And so again, let's not prejudge where somebody is. Who knows what would happen if we plant seeds today, 5 years from now, after God has done more work in their lives and allowed them to transform the way that they think. It does take time, however. It takes whatever time that person needs to overcome the obstacles in their life. And it can take continual willingness to simply sow seeds of faith in a generous way. It may be that they need to be so overwhelmed by the love of God that they experience and observe numerous seed sowers before they finally are able to recognize Jesus for who he is. And so that's why we need to continually trust God for his provision and his protection. We are going to run into problems situations where some people just seem to reject it. And they're going to take it out on you personally sometimes, depending on what's going on in their heart. But it's not personal. We have to remember that it's not about you. It's about what they're processing and what they're dealing with. It will be tough at times. There will be pain and heartache over some of your best attempts. But none of that is more powerful than God's love. And the difference that God can make in that person's life is worth enduring some hardship along the way. That hardship will only serve to deepen our own relationship with Christ as we depend on him to see his spirit do his work. I want to read another passage from 1 Peter chapter 3. If I can get there quickly. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. Here's what Peter writes. He says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." And there's a lot packed into that passage that applies to what we're talking about today. Be ready in season and out to share the hope that you have within you. That's what it means to be planting seeds of faith. Always be ready to just share. And it goes beyond just showing people that you have love and joy in your heart, but letting them know the source of that love and joy. It does take speaking up sometimes about praising Christ for what he's done so that they know where it's coming from. And that's what Peter talks about, but let them know where that joy comes from. He tells us not to fear what other people fear. Don't be frightened. Don't worry about any harm that comes to you in the process. We need to trust that God is going to do good in their lives. And the more we do good, the more it overcomes the evil that comes. So we need to trust God to take care of us when things get difficult in sharing the seed. If we take a closer look at each of these types of soil that Jesus described, we can also consider that there are things that we can do ourselves to hinder or help the transformation process in a person's life as they maybe transform from soil that's hard and rocky into soil that's ready to receive seeds of faith. So I want to walk through these different types of soil that Jesus talked about and just consider some of the ways. They're really what we're talking about is ways of sowing that seed, the ways that we can respond to them as we do our part to let people know about Christ. So consider that path. Jesus said that birds came and ate the seed up right away. This is the person who hears but does not understand. The evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This can be a very difficult situation when you really think about it. You're sowing seeds of faith, and this is the kind of person who would probably very often reject you. And honestly, it's the kind of person we as Christians often want to avoid. We assume that they're just going to reject that we have to say. They're going to argue with us. They're going to be against us. They're going to be rude and insulting. And yes, that does happen sometimes. But that shouldn't be a reason for us not to sow seeds into those lives. And Jesus reveals something important about this kind of person. They hear the word, but they don't understand it. Typically, it's not true that somebody has heard and understood the gospel and then just rejected it outright. That can happen, but I haven't observed it. It doesn't happen very often. The truth is they haven't understood. There is something that has kept them from truly understanding the truth of the gospel. And the fact that they are so hard-hearted toward it suggests that there is some unresolved anger or bitterness or resentment that they have, whether it's toward God, whether it's toward the church, or some specific situation that they had with the church. There is something that they're carrying that just causes them to reject the word outright and to not understand it. Something has happened that tell them that Christianity is not worth their while, or that Christians should not be trusted. Which saddens me whenever I really think about that, because what is the primary command that God gives us? To love, right? To love God and love one another. That's what Christianity is all about. And to hear that there are people who haven't experienced that love and who assume that that's not what we're about is just sad. Now, that sadness should carry us into action, honestly, to say, you know what? I want to overcome that misconception. I want to pour so much love into people that they get it. They get the truth. Hopefully, it raises some compassion in our hearts to know that something is blocking people from knowing the truth. It's not so much that they have outright rejected the truth of the gospel. There's something in their lives, and maybe we need to dig into that a little bit. We do need to be careful how we respond to each person. If we respond with the same anger, frustration, and rejection, we may be reinforcing those negative perceptions that they have. Our goal is to tear them down, not to build them up. And so what we can do instead is just continually sow seeds of love, grace, and acceptance, and especially patience and tolerance for where people are at this moment. Just let them believe what they believe, but we're going to believe what we believe, and we believe that we ought to be sowing God's love into people's lives. And we'll let God do the work with that. It's like scratching up hard ground, working fertilizer and compost in the dirt. It might take a great deal of time and effort, but eventually, all that effort can help that path be transformed into good soil. And so we continue to trust God to take care of us, to protect us in those difficult times, but continue to sow that seed. Now, the second place that Jesus talked about was rocky places without much soil. He said the seeds there grow up and wither away without roots. And this is like the person who hears and receives the gospel with joy, but falls away when trouble or persecution comes. Now, this is a kind of situation where you feel like you've done something great. You've sown some seeds of faith. The person has responded. They're like, yes, I love Jesus. I want Jesus in my life. But a month or two down the road, they've disappeared or things have changed because troubles have come up. And they haven't known how to deal with that trouble with faith in Christ. And they've fallen away. This kind of person reminds me of the importance of truly making disciples of Jesus Christ, not just converts to Christianity. Our goal is not to just get people to make a decision to accept Christ in their life, but rather to help them to become devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Right? The seeds that we sow into a person's life are not just to get to the point of coming to church or praying a prayer of repentance. We need to sow good, healthy seed and work it well into that soil. The seeds of a solid, Christ-centered biblical teaching are what I'm talking about. The Bible is not just a list of instructions that we give people to live by. It's not a feel-good guide to self-help, but rather it is the Spirit-given account of a loving Creator and His effort to bridge the divide caused by sin between Himself and His prized creation, mankind. The Bible tells about this God sending Himself into the world in the form of His Son, Jesus, to live among us and sacrifice His life for our sin and then come back to life to provide us a new way of life. The gospel and God's character are woven all throughout the Bible, and they are the foundation of everything that God has told us. And so we help ensure that there are deep roots of faith growing in people's lives by committing to that kind of gospel-centered biblical teaching in the sowing that we do into people's life. It goes beyond just, like I said, getting to the point of believing in Jesus and praying for him, but continuing to sow seeds of understanding of the word and the gospel into their lives. And we sow those seeds into our own lives as well so that we can have good, strong roots as well and continue to stand. We do all this so that we can push aside and pushing aside any teaching that distracts us from that. And along with solid teaching then, people in this stage, this thorny kind of soil, need people who know Jesus to walk alongside them through the difficulties of life. When those times get tough, when they're starting to fall away, that's often the time they need somebody like you or I to come alongside them, to remind them that they can trust in Jesus in those moments, to help them process things in a different way so that they can know Jesus in a deeper way. It will be challenging. It can be inconvenient. I'm thinking about phone calls in the middle of the night saying, I desperately need to talk to you right now, right? There will be conveniences. There will be time. We don't know when trouble is going to come in a person's life. But if we're willing to walk alongside them, we can help sow seed deeply into their lives and rather than let it be on thorny soil. It also helps to show them your own weaknesses, to be authentic with them. People are not looking for Christians to show them deep theology, to say that I understand all of God's word and I know all the answers. That's not what people are looking for. And it's easy to start feeling like you need to have the answers because you want to help somebody, right? And we're feeling lost. We don't know what to say. We feel like we're not doing our job. But a person's not looking for you to have all the answers right away. They're looking for you to just be there with them, pray with them, encourage them, remind them of Jesus. And you can do that best sometimes when you're going through your own troubles. When you're having a weak moment and you're just saying, I just don't know what to do. But I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus because he's been faithful in the past and I know he's going to be faithful in the future. And his word promises that he will. That speaks volumes into another person's life. And that can help them overcome their trouble of falling away because of troubles that come into their lives. And there's a third type of soil that Jesus talks about, the seed that falls among the thorns. I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? I'm sorry if I wrote my notes wrong. We talked about the rocky, the path. We talked about there being no soil. No, we're talking about the thorny soil now. Sorry. Sorry. Boom. Yeah, I guess so. That's a good thing, right? So the third soil was the soil where the seed falls among the thorns. It grows up and is choked by those weeds. This is the person who hears the word, but the worries of life and deceitfulness of wealth choke it out. This is a person who is more tied to worldly things than spiritual things. And I believe that there are going to be a lot of people in this stage in our world. There is much that this world offers that seems to be worth pursuing. There are all kinds of people offering all kinds of answers to all the troubles of people's lives, and they sound so appealing. In fact, marketers spend millions of dollars to make sure they sound appealing, right? And they draw people in all the time. They appear much more worthy of attention than Jesus. This is one of the reasons that we want to focus more on being a church that goes out into the world to share faith than inviting people in, trying to attract them to come to us. In trying to create attraction to our church for people who don't know Jesus, we tend to appeal to those worldly desires. And that's what they come for. They come because we're offering something that is appealing. It's fun and exciting. But when that's what people are coming for, they want more of that. And we need to keep providing more because we want to keep them coming. And that's kind of the trap that we can fall into if we're always trying to get people to come to us. And so in my mind, as I think about being a church, it's very important that we avoid that trap and just go out and share the hope that we have. There is, of course, some hope that when somebody does come, that they will get to know God through their experiences with us. Well, they'll actually get to meet people. But that actually gets us to when they actually come, our goal is to build relationships with them. And it's those relationships that make such a difference. So, again, we need to go and build those relationships with them. It can be a real challenge to see seed take root in a life of someone who's caught up in the world. And there are two things that come to mind when we think about how can we help in that situation, help those seeds take root. The first, again, is have authentic relationships with them. Be a true friend and show them the difference that Jesus makes in your life. Show them that you live differently because of Jesus and how much it blesses you. Show them that you're not going to make the same choices that everyone else in the world makes. You're bold enough to be different than everyone else. And that makes a huge difference in your life. And you do it because of your love for Jesus. Being authentic like that can make a huge difference in a person's life. Bless you. The second is prayer. Diligent, committed prayer. It can be really, really difficult for someone to turn away from worldly offers of success and provision and turn instead to God. It can be really hard to give all of that up because it seems to provide so much. And there's not a lot we can do about it sometimes except fall on our knees and call upon the Lord on behalf of that person. And to do it again and again and again, diligently praying. We know the Lord answers prayer, don't we? We know that He hears prayers. And He responds. So sometimes the best thing that we can be do to continue sowing seeds and helping those seeds take root is pray and pray and pray. That people would see the value in seeking Jesus rather than chasing after the world. So all of these things I'm talking about doing really come back, as I said, to sowing seeds. And God will give you the wisdom you need to know how to do it best. I don't want to overwhelm you with a whole bunch of ideas today. Just remember this simple thing. Sow seeds of faith. Sow them with love. Sow them with gentleness. Sow them again and again and again and again wherever you go. It really comes down to being authentic, being authentically Christian around people. We're not going to be perfect. We don't have all the answers. We have the same worries and temptations and trials as everyone else. But we have this one thing different. We have Jesus. We put our hope in Him. We turn to Him. And if we could share that with people, we're going to have amazing encounters where God steps in and causes that seed to take root and grow into a bountiful harvest in their lives and in ours. And that's what we're seeking to do. So let's be sowers of seed, generously committed to giving seed away, seeds of faith, wherever God leads us. Let's go scatter some seeds. Let's pray together. Again, stay for lunch if you can. We have a potluck fellowship. Enjoy some time building one another up in our faith so that we can be ready to go out and scatter some seeds this week. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank You for the work that You've done in our lives. I thank You for meeting us here today, and I pray that You fill us all up today so that we may know the joy that we have with You. And let us overflow with that love, Lord, as we go out into the world this week. Help us to be willing and able and even excited to just share the love that You have with us wherever we go. Let us be sowers of seed who give generously what You have poured so generously into our lives. In Jesus' name.